Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. Wow, people have been calling me the last of the red hot book lovers, and I can tell you I do love books, and it's so exciting. I have a big schedule coming up in 2024, but I'm starting here the month of December with a really fascinating book, Who Needs Paris? And I'm so happy to welcome to Joy on Paper an acclaimed television writer and director and producer. And my goodness, she's a filmmaker and she does everything else. And it's such an honor to welcome you to the program, Joan Meyerson. Hi.
Well, hello. So nice to hear your voice on my own telephone, you know, not as opposed to watching the shows that you've been doing in the past. And I just want to say I appreciate so much your show. You really open the door to so many writers and there's so many different stories to tell. And as you say, it's the story, the people behind the story, too, that's so important. And I know certainly for my book, it was the foundation of my novel.
It's so much fun for me. When I was very young, I decided that I was going to one day live in England, near where Jane Austen was born, and I did. When I was 21, I bought a 400-year-old cottage there. But I did spend a lot of weekends in Paris. It was sort of my base of operations, actually, for running around Europe. So I'm so excited to talk to you about your years in Paris.
Oh yes, well thank you. So they were momentous. They were the two different times that I lived in Paris. Well, the first, like you, when you were 21, I was 21, graduated from college. I went to Berkeley. I decided I would not go to Europe until I graduated, until I was 21, because then I was a free person. I didn't have to listen to my parents. I could do what I wanted to do, which sometimes wasn't always the best thing, you know, but it's how we learn about our lives, right? And so I did that, and it was a momentous experience. But, you know, a lot of things happened, and I ended up coming back to L.A. and didn't go back for a long time. And as in my novel, the novel is certainly, it's inspired by the two times I lived in Paris. It's not actually completely exactly what happened to me, but you know, sometimes when you're creating the story, you have to change a little bit. But then when I went back in the 70s, things were very different. I don't know if you were around there during that time too, but everything was bright and clean and open and free.
The 70s were the most wonderful time in Paris, I think.
Yes. Well, they're still pretty good now. I just find myself going back every year as I can. But I do love it, and it did inspire me to write it. And as you say, my background, this is my first novel, but I had a pretty long and good career as in documentaries and other kinds of programs, too. But I always felt I learned from those things, especially I was the writer of in a lot of PBS shows and the National Memorial Day concert, in which I interviewed a lot of vets and widows and children who lost their parents. And I found that the most interesting stories are really from real life. And so when I decided I loved writing other people's stories, but it was finally time to write something that's inspired by my own life. And I realized that's you know, really what I had to do. And I think there were personal reasons, too, probably, why I wanted to do it.
Well, I think it was a great decision on your part, because you are a natural writer. And it's wonderful, you know, that finally, you know, I'm always encouraging people, write your book. There's a book in you.
Yes.
And so it's exciting, you know, when somebody actually does it.
I know. Well, I never thought about doing it until, you know, finally I got to the age where I actually financially could afford to do it, too, because you don't always have, you know, you don't know until you publish a book whether or not, you know, the financial part's going to be there. But it becomes a need inside you, I think, to share your life or to share those things that have happened to you with other people. What I really wanted to do, as they say, there's, you know, an expression, a good story well told. But I felt like I wanted to write something that I wanted to read, you know, a good story. I used to call it a smart woman's beach read, you know, somebody where there's a lot of fun and a lot of adventure to it and a lot of excitement and great characters. But also there was some social relevance, some meaning to it, some depth to the story. And so that's what I ended up doing, you know.
And you've accomplished it with your story about Kate. I will say that.
Yes.
Now, I was in Hollywood for a while. I wrote, I had three of my, yes. my spec scripts were optioned. And so I loved the part where you're writing about Paris, of course, relate very much to me, but also the parts about Hollywood. So I found it, I got a kick out of it, I can tell you.
That was a fun part, writing about, as a documentary filmmaker, she gets a job to go back to Paris, and finally she has to decide she has
to
go.
Was,
has
to
confront the past.
But. Lay the foundation about who Kate is and what she's going to do.
Well, basically, everybody wants to go to Paris except for Kate. Kate has avoided Paris like the plague for the last 13 years. She was there in the 60s. She ended up, she loved it. It was beautiful. It was perfect until it wasn't, until she had a love affair that did not turn out well and sort of disastrous, and she never wanted to go back. But then she's trying to shut down because she can't forget those memories of what happened to her. And she's working for a freelance for a French producer, and he hires her to come and help him work on the Deauville Film Festival, which is like the mini version of Cannes Film Festival. And she decides, finally, her life's going nowhere. She better confront it. She better, something in her says maybe going back to Paris will help me get rid of the past, help me reconcile myself with the past. And so she does, and she's still worried about going. But, I mean, as soon as you get to Paris, you step off the metro, and there's the Eiffel Tower, and there's these beautiful buildings, and the Seine River, and all the French people wandering around and dressed very nicely. And you just get caught up in the beauty of Paris again, and you realize you have to stay there. And
it's something
and that's what
she does. To experience it is, and as we did sort of back in the days, I was, as I said, I was in the 70s, the later 70s. Mm-hmm. And that feeling, from the minute you step off the plane and you're there, and then when you get there, and later on, I stayed in a lot of different places in Paris. When I was young, I stayed in pensions and I, inexpensive hotels. And then as I made more money and then I got married, my husband and I always made Hotel Regina our base.
Where was that? On the left bank or the right bank?
By the Louvre.
It sounds familiar.
Yes. It's the one where Joan of Arc is standing in front of it.
Oh, yes. No, I do know. We walked past that a lot. For my book, my publisher asked me, we were just getting the proof book out, and I was going back to France anyway before I even knew I was going to publish this book. And she said, take a camera and go to all the places that are in the book and take a picture of you holding the book in front of that. And we will walk back and forth by the statue of Joan of Arc all the time because there was a lot of places around there where I had been when I was younger, And so I got to take pictures of it. It was the most fun trip I had to Paris.
That was our favorite hotel. Although as we had money, we went to all the other hotels too. I know one of my favorite was the Hotel Maurice, where Lord Peter Wimsey in the Dorothy Sayers books always stayed.
Yes, that's a beautiful hotel. Well, in the novel, of course, she goes there when she's 21 and doesn't have a lot of money. And she's left alone. She's gone with a friend, and the friend abandons her to search for a better life for herself. And in Hollywood, of course, so she's left on her own, and she doesn't know what to do. She's almost goes home, but she finds the Sorbonne, the university. She can take classes, and she gets a job as an au pair. And she thinks, this is going to be great. I'm going to live with a French family, and we're going to do all these things. And she ends up, being in the maid's room, which is like a closet, as you know. And that's where she starts out when she's 21. But then when she comes back in 1977, things are a little different. And she ends up meeting a lot of influential people and French famous French producers. And as you say, she interviews at the the Deauville Film Festival. She interviews Hollywood celebrities like Gregory Peck, and she starts getting different ideas of how she could live her life. And it's really quite fun to see how she reinvents herself, you know, in a sense, and regains the confidence that she, you know, that she used to have. And we see how she, you know, what she will do with that. But I don't want to.
Don't get it all away. But I was happy that you picked Deauville, because that is, I think that's the loveliest film festival. I enjoyed that one the most of all the film festivals I've ever been to. I love that
one. Really? Yeah. No. Well, I think because it was just beginning when I went, and it was small, but it was easy to walk around and meet people. And actually, I went there. That's why I chose it, because, as I say, the best stories come from real life. I could have chose Cannes, but you know, everybody knows about Cannes. And if you don't have the personal experience, you're not going to really write a fun book. But having had that personal experience, having been invited by a film critic to go up to the festival and be with him when we did it, that you can write about it, and it's real, but it's also fun, and you can also take some liberties with what goes on there too. But it's all based on something that you can believe that might have happened.
Well, you know, of course, for me, Paris is a walking city, and I walked all over Paris.
Yes.
Because I think of my knowledge of books and my, you know, the number of books I had already read before I ever even went to Europe, I found myself always, I could walk anywhere in Paris and find anything.
Yes. Oh, I mean, I'm so glad that you've had the same feelings as I do, and you probably felt that when you were reading the book, because there's something magical about it. I don't know what it is, and if you've been to Paris, I mean, people have told me this, if you've been to Paris, this book will take you back there. You can enjoy it. But if you haven't been to Paris, then you can feel like you're, you know, really having your own fantasy trip there and get a feeling for it. And as I said, I wanted to make this, at first I thought it would be a smart woman's speech read, but now that we're almost to Christmas, I think it'd be a wonderful book to curl up by the fire and go to Paris while you have some time off to enjoy the holiday.
Yes, a vicarious experience, because it's something I do wish people would be able to, you know, have that feeling, because it never leaves you. You know, I've traveled all over the world since my first trip to Paris, but I never forget that feeling. And it is, it was something, and I never had, you know, you hear these stories, oh, they're unfriendly and stuff. I never had that.
No.
Everybody in Paris was so good to me.
Yes.
From
the
day one. Yeah, you know, I stayed in, like, when I first was there, I stayed in, you know, these very, very cheap pensions and inexpensive hotels. And everybody there was so kind to me. And then later on, as I, you know, got more experience in Paris, but it didn't matter. Nobody was ever rude to me in Paris. People have been rude to me in all countries, all over the world, but never in Paris.
I know. I always wonder, why do people say they don't like it? Because I don't know why, but because I always have felt that the French have sometimes a certain way of dealing with things. And I know that when I was living there back in the 70s in a nice apartment, you know, in the nice area of Paris, finally, because I could afford that too, if you had a problem with your heater or, you know, your television work or whatever, you call a technician, and sometimes they could be really a little abrupt. But that was, you know, that's part of the charm of the French, too, you know.
And you feel a little bit intimidated by the way the women dress, because no matter how you try, you're always going to look American. they just have something special about them.
Yeah, well, I guess, you know, it reminds me of Emily in Paris. A lot of people love that show, too. But it's really a fantasy if you watch that. I mean, if you watch it, she comes in every scene. She's in a different designer dress. And I don't think many Parisian people are really like that. But it's fun to watch. But I think, like, my Kate, I often daydream, because I do know the executive producer of Emily in Paris, and she read the book too, and she loved the book, which is very nice. But I have this fantasy of my Kate somehow bumping into Emily in Paris, having a great time together.
Well, the French women, they can wear old clothes. Their clothes can be 30 years old, and they still look good in them, you know?
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, sometimes I find myself just taking pictures of people walking down the street because they look so stylish, you know, so Parisian in a certain way. You know?
Yeah, and then, of course, you go to the restaurants, and oh.
The restaurants, yes. I know. Well, my kid, yeah, but the Kate, when she's young, of course, as you say, when you're young, it's a little different, you know. I ate at the student cafeteria, which wasn't too great, but it's nice to have both experiences. When you're young, I think even living in a maid's room in a closet becomes romantic, because this is what Hemingway did when he first came. This is what Picasso did when he first came, you know, living in the garrets of Paris. And so you get that feeling, you have a whole different kind of a feeling for Paris when you're young. And then when you're older, that's that whole other feeling of Paris, because you can enjoy it.
You're walking F. Scott Fitzgerald's footsteps, and you're walking with Zelda,
right.
And you're seeing things in a different light, and you're having so much fun. As you get older, then, you know, for me, I love military history. I love anything Napoleonic.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, yeah, I'm in glory in Paris.
My husband would always go to Napoleon's tomb. He loved that. I'm so happy that you've had similar experiences to me, so you could really understand the book. And I think you hit the nail on the head, as they say, about how you would feel when you read my book. I mean, that's what I strove for, and I'm glad to hear that it brought out those memories in you, because it is a special place, and it's fun. It's fun to read about it, I think.
It is. It's wonderful, and I'm sure it's so much fun when I hear the story behind the book of how somebody has. I mean, you've been holding all of these ideas in your head, and it's sort of fermenting in there, and then it just starts bubbling out. And isn't it exciting?
Yes. Oh, yes, it was. I mean, because at first I wasn't sure. I had these two time periods. I said, which story will I tell? But neither one by itself kind of meant, you know, what didn't feel complete. And all of a sudden I realized, you know, it's not complete, because so much happened in the 60s that affected her in the 70s that she had to confront. And so that's what made the story so interesting, is because she had to go back and forth in time and sort of unpeel the onion until you get to the core of the story as you go back and forth in time. And that's what I think that's what makes it right. And that's what I felt like I needed to do, because some of it, you know, I think all authors feel the same way, because it's not only telling your story, but sometimes there's a story that you have to write down, that you need to send out to the world, and you need to say that helps you resolve some of the own conflicts in your own personal life. You know, I made them, you know, turn out the way I wanted them to turn out.
That's the nice thing about being a writer. You can do it. It's like, you can do all sorts of fun things when you're the writer.
Oh yes. It's very satisfying, because you can change what happened. You know, let's say something horrible happened to you, and that's what you've been living with for a long time. But you have to go back. Maybe it's based on that incident, but you can turn it to your own advantage, and it's sometimes the best therapy you've ever had. In fact, right before it was published, I let a good friend of mine read the book, and that's what she felt like too. I mean, she said, you know, you're reading your book was better therapy than going to a therapist, you know. So sometimes it does help to, you know, you start with reality, and
you have the germ of the idea, and then you just let it blossom and grow and go wherever it wants.
Exactly. And that's what writing is so great that way, I think. And you've really, I think you really help when you're talking to writers like me, you really help bring that out and make understand well, why it's important.
Well, I mean, I do feel that everybody has one book in them, but I have a feeling you have more books in you because you can write like crazy about Hollywood. And yes. I can tell you, I'm sure you have a lot of stories that you can turn into fascinating novels.
Oh yeah. Well, I know. I'm going to get there. Right now it's working on, you know, I want to get it out to the world because I think they, you know, there's a lot of women out there, I think, that would really love this book. And men too. I mean, I understand I just had my book launch a week or so ago, and some of my friends came, and all the women bought books, and then they found out that some of their husbands on their own were buying their own book too, because I must confess, and you probably know this now, there's a little bit of sexiness to this novel.
Yes, there is.
And they were buying it too.
So, yes, definitely a little bit of adult writing in there, but it's fascinating. And as I said, it opens you up to doing a lot of Hollywood books,
yes,
which is fun for you. Now, I myself am working on a Hollywood book. I've been working on it actually, I'm glad you used the word therapy. Mine is sort of therapy. I don't think I can finish this book because I was in Hollywood and I was very young, and I made the mistake of suing one of the major studios.
Sometimes you have to do that.
That was not a good idea. That's why I'm on the west coast of Florida instead of the west coast of California, because I'm sort of killing off all the lawyers involved in the lawsuit. So it's therapeutic.
I bet that's fun to write about.
It is. I pick it up every once in a while, and I remember who was wearing, you know, the $3,000 suit, Italian suit, and who was wearing it. And so I write about it, and then I think, well, these people are still alive. I better not publish it. Yeah. Who knows? They can still come after me.
Well, I must say, some of my characters are exactly like what you're doing. I have had some friends who went Hollywood on me. I was very close to them. And then two women I know ended up winning Oscars. And immediately, you know, I was frozen out of their world, you know.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So I use that. And you can understand that, I'm sure. And,
oh, I do.
So
I
use that. To help me.
And that's why I was always so grateful to Debbie Reynolds, because she didn't turn her back on me. I wrote a film for her that unfortunately it went into turnaround because of the financial collapse in 2008. But she was one of the ones who didn't turn on, away from me. So I was always, but Hollywood is like that. Which is,
yes,
I mean, that's
right,
what makes
right.
for a fun book. So I have a feeling, I don't know if you started working on the second book or you're going to wait until after you do the marketing for this one.
No. Well, I think about it. It is certainly going to incorporate Hollywood figures, but it's going to be in a different way, and it's going to be kind of a fun book, but it's going to be, it's going to be about my neighborhood in Los Angeles.
That's good. Everybody in Hollywood will buy the book to see if you've included them, and it will become a bestseller.
Well, I hope so. I hope so. Maybe my second bestseller, I hope.
Now that you've got the book launched, what are you doing marketing wise? There are more possibilities now. Thank goodness, no more pandemic.
I'm so glad it didn't happen during the pandemic. I had a friend who did have a book published during the pandemic. It was like death, you know, to do that. But I'm posting a lot of things on Facebook. Like I said, I have pictures of me in Paris, and but that are in scenes that are actually in the novel, and you can see the location of those scenes. So that helps people visualize what the book might be like, and talking to people like you. I mean, I'm hoping that will help get it, you know, get the word out, because as I said, the beginning, it's a lot of fun. It's humorous. It's clever. Kate is a clever person on the outside, but on the inside, you know, she's vulnerable just like all of us. And And I think some of those things that people will read, that some of these characters that our readers will enjoy reading about and be helpful to them. So I wanted the book that was fun, but also had some significance to it, too. And that's the kind of book that I'd like to write again. But it's going to be about my neighborhood, a neighborhood where I found out after I moved here that a lot of famous Hollywood people lived in, and they're gone now. But in my book, they might not be gone.
Yeah, bring them back. Why not? This is that's the fun thing. That's what you can do.
That's right. So I think that's what's going to be my next project. But there's so many things, you know, to write about, and so just it's the process. As you say at the beginning of your show, it's the people who write and who want to write, and there's just something in a lot of us that makes us feel like we need to write. And I think I always did a little bit. And even in documentaries, of course, I wrote, I had to write some narration. I interviewed people. I did all those things. And that's where I learned that, you know, finding the real story is what is the basis for all good books anyway. So that's what I'll keep doing, I think.
Well, I think you've done that, and certainly it's going to be fun. What you will discover is, as you get fans, as people write to you and say, you know, I really enjoyed that book, and it will empower you, really, in many ways to keep going and do more. And I think you're going to have lots of fun with this book. And one of the things, really, when you get to meet people and when you get to sign the books yourself for people, I think that's an exciting moment in your life.
It was. It was the most exciting. I had never had experienced that before. It was the most exciting. I could not believe it. I felt like I was in a dream, you know, a dream come true. And so I hope to continue that. It was certainly inspiration to keep on going. So.
Well, you know, I asked Omar Sharif one time, I was on location for filming, and I asked him, I said, do you ever get tired of all the women and come up to you and want your autograph? And, you know, in those days, they didn't do selfies. If somebody had a camera, they, you know, would ask for a picture. And he said to me, never. He said, never.
Never. No, I know.
It was so funny. So because
I have to share. Yeah, I have to share with you, Susie, because I guess it's exactly what happened to me years ago. I did some little thing for Richard Harris. You remember the actor? And he wanted some help with it, and he flew me to New York, and I was in the limo with him. And he was doing a concert. He started to, you know, he was not only an actor, but he was a singer, and there were all these young people crowding his limousine, trying to get to him, and I couldn't believe it. I thought it was just kind of funny, but he was serious about it. He was loving it. It was like it was his air to him that he needed to keep breathing. You know, I had to have these fans around. It was very serious. So I understand completely why Omar would have said that to you.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the things I'm shopping around a spec script that I wrote about my own childhood. You know, my name is Patsy with a Z, P-A-T-Z-I.
Yes, that's right. Yeah,
and so Jimmy Hoffa gave me that name.
Oh, wow.
And so I wrote a movie about when I was a little girl and I used to sit on Jimmy Hoffa's lap. And so I'm shopping that one around Hollywood. I hope someday to get somebody to pick it up. And I'm sure you're going to try to shop around your book.
Oh, I hope so. Some people have already said this should be a movie, so I'm saying, yeah, sure, let's do it. I hope so. I'm ready for it.
Well, I mean, people will say that, and the thing is, some will make it, and you never know. And the wonderful thing about writing is that, you know, you live in this sort of bubble when you're writing, but then when you come out and you start realizing the impact that your words can make, it's very exciting. And so this, your book, Who Needs Paris, a great title, by the way. And I love the cover. I thought the cover of Who Needs Paris is really, it captures not just a feeling, but also the period.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, I had that vision, and I just, you know, I just felt like that's what it was. And when I saw it, the cover, I thought, oh, I'm so glad. Yeah.
It captures that late 60s, 70s vibe.
Yes. That's right. That's right. Well, thank you for saying that. I really appreciate it. I love it too. But yeah, I've had that. I think it's good because it's so, you have to, I mean, there's so many books on Paris. You think, how can you write another one? But yeah, it's different. And every book on Paris usually has a picture of the Eiffel Tower on it. And I thought, well, how can I do this but make it different too? Not it, and as my story is, you know, it's about Paris, but it's different from any other story about Paris, I hope. And that's what I wanted the cover to be too, that you would know exactly that we're talking about Paris, but there's a little bit of a humor to it too, you know.
The humor and the time period, because it is really just a perfect cover for your book about a really interesting, when she starts off a very innocent young woman, Kate Miller, and her first trip to Paris, and then 10 years later. So you've done a great job with the cover, with the book, and now you're going to have fun with marketing. And then you'll be back here in about a year with your second book. Am I correct?
Oh, I hope so. I hope so.
Okay, well, wonderful. You remember, you know,
we have a date.
That's it, we have
Hollywood,
a date, absolutely.
If you come out to Hollywood, we'll go have a drink at the Beverly Hills Hotel, okay?
Oh, I love it. One of my favorite places. I love it. Okay, well, you have a website, very nice website, by the way, because you have
thank
pictures
you.
Of Paris. So tell me about it.
Yes. Oh yes! Oh yes! Oh, thank you. I did. It was fun to do. So thank you.
And
so
it's
much.
Just your name, Joan Meyerson, right?
Joan Meyerson. That's it. That's my name.
Okay.
Yeah, with an E. Nobody real. Everybody always thinks. Well, it's my husband's name, you know, right, which I took. But everybody thinks he's related to Bess Meyerson, you know, who was the
of course
this America. But that's what it. But. R. Meyerson is with an E, M-E-Y.
M-E-Y, E-R-S-O-N, and it's a wonderful website. If you want to see some pictures of Paris and get some more information about the story behind who needs Paris. And I can just tell you, just about everybody in the world needs Paris.
Yes, I think you're right. Well, it was a pleasure talking to you, and thank you again. And you really... You really help out and inspire a lot of writers. So I'm thrilled to have been a part of that. And
well, it's been a joy to talk to you. As I said, you're going to be back. All right?
Okay.
Thank you now.
Some inspiration.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
Bye, Joan.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Okay. Wow. Oh, it always makes me happy to think about my years in Paris.